Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
It's a special Mother's Day edition of the Every Day Saturday podcast. It's great to have you. My name's Sam Crowley, host of the show, entrepreneur, speaker, trainer, seminar leader, and your best friend for 20 minutes a day, every single day, whether you're making that commute to the 9 to 5, which, you know, it's more like the 7 to 7 job. J-O-B, journey of the broke, jump out of bed just over broke, or you're on a treadmill, wherever you are listening to this show. You're a dreamer, you're a doer, you're an entrepreneur, you love making every day Saturday, and it's my hope and my goal that this show inspires you each and every day. So, a couple of ways to plug in, go to iTunes, listen to the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star rating for the show. It helps us get found faster by other people just like you, awesome people just like you. You can also listen at everydaysaturday.com. Just click on the podcast button there, and you'll have every single show dating back to 1964. That's not true. But I was born in 68, June 29th, 1968. If you're looking to send a birthday card, okay. Hey, special Mother's Day edition. It is May 11th, 2014. Just returned home from church. Oh, by the way, you're noticing it's not the Sunday Spiritual Podcast, Sam. This is 2 weeks in a row. Where is Shane Harden, the bald guy, the pastor, the man of faith who sits in the studio with you every Sunday? Well, Shane's been traveling. And he's been extremely, when I say busy, you know, got to cut the guy a little slack. You know, he is the man of the cloth, a man of the cloth. So he's not with me today in the studio, which is okay. We miss Shane. We love Shane Harden. But it also gives me an opportunity to give a shout out and dedicate this entire podcast to the working women, the stay-at-home moms, any female out there that has been blessed with a child, whether they are an absolute, rock star, movie star, athlete, or just a little guy like me, you know. I think back to my mom, and oh, by the way, every mom's kid is a rock star. Okay, I was just joking. As far as did he or she get the Hollywood good looks, the NFL, Major League Baseball, soccer style athlete? You know, did he get a 4.0s, the brains to go to Harvard? Isn't everybody just a miracle though? Can we just agree on that? Black, white, Asian, brown, Hispanic, purple, green, whatever color you are, race, creed. You know, I used to get caught up in that stuff, what we looked like and how athletic we were and looks and things like that. It's so stupid, isn't it? It's just we're all measured and we're all judged. And when you get a day like today on Mother's Day, you look and you think, can you imagine a mom looking at their child when they're born thinking, you're nothing. You're nothing special. You're not going to grow up to be anything. No. A mom has a child, they think that child is going to be it. I mean, they hung the moon, right? They love the kid. But yet something happens along the course of most people's lives where, you know, after mom speaks those blessings into the child, it's like the child goes on and doesn't realize the opportunities that are in front of them. And it's you and it's me and it's everybody out there that buys into this crazy new age crap that, you know, doesn't work in the real world, and all of this secular stuff that people, you need money and you need clothes and you need all the fancy houses and cars and the iPhones and iPads and everything that goes along with it. You know, I think the best times of my life, I want to just share a story with you, a very personal story on Mother's Day. I think I'm just going to share it. I wouldn't plan on sharing it, but those of you that know me know that I'm pretty much an open book. I'm as transparent as a glass of water. And that's why the show gets downloaded in over 100 countries, this podcast, because I just like to just be real, you know? And I highly suggest when you're building a brand, when you're going after your Saturday, whatever that is, please be authentic. You don't have to give people, you know, 24/7 look into your life. You know, we're not the Kardashians or anything, but give people a glimpse into who you really are. What makes you tick? I am the youngest of 8 children from the great, Catherine Crowley of Bradford, Pennsylvania, born June 29th, 1968. My mom had me before she turned age 41, having already had 7 children, the last one being born in 1964, my brother Jim. And so, well, let me just run it down. Chris was born in 51. He's my oldest sibling, my brother Chris. Kate was born in 1953. And on they go. Sue was born in 59. Oh, boy, we got Justin and Richard and Bernie and Sue. I'm not even going to try to connect. I know how old they are, but to try to calculate the years, forget about it. Let me get back to what I was talking about. My mom had 7 kids. The last one was 1964. And then, uh-oh, here comes your 8th kid, Catherine, 1968. Oh, by the way, your husband's going to leave you just a few months later and go nuts for the rest of his life, okay? So here it is. My mom has 8 kids under the age of 17, 16. Let's see. My brother Chris was in 51, so he would have been 17, turning 17 when I was born. He was in December of that year. Where I'm going with this, imagine having 8 kids under the age of 17 and your husband leaves and leaves you with nobody. I mean, no, you know, no money, no job, no nothing. I don't know. I don't remember those early years. Obviously, my first childhood memory is right around the mid-1970s, 73, 74, when I was turning, going into the first grade and things like that. I don't remember, but boy, and I never really had an opportunity to speak with my mom before she died. She died in 1997, July 7th, 1997. I never had the opportunity to really sit down and ask her, and I don't know why I didn't ever sit down and ask her about what it was like. You know, take me through an average day of, you know, having 8 kids and, you know, then one goes off to college. Now you got 7 kids, but you still got to feed them. And I remember the days where my mom got a job as a plant nurse at Case Cutlery. If you've ever heard of Case Knives, those of you that have ever used one of those knives, are built in Bradford, Pennsylvania. We're also the home of Kendall Motor Oil and Zippo Lighters. You ever have a Zippo Lighter? They're manufactured right there, Bradford, PA. So my mom became the plant nurse at Case Cutlery, and it was a plant, a manufacturing plant. And first shift, my mom would go to work about 7 in the morning. Rain, snow, it didn't matter, man. And the van, we used to call it the knife. The knife would come pick mom up. And what it was we'd be like, hey, mom, the knife's here. And what it was is this big van that if you didn't have any way to get to work, you didn't have a car, any type of automobile or transportation to get to your job at Case, the van would come and pick you up, and it had this big Case knife on it, so we just called it the knife. So the knife would come pick mom up and then take her off to work. And then when we got a car in the early 1970s, sometimes it wouldn't start. Bradford, PA, I remember seeing on the Today Show and the national news, they would have coldest spots of the nation in the morning. Bradford, PA would come up 20 below, 30 below, and that's without wind chill, cold. And sometimes our battery wouldn't start. And there was mom, had to get to work, so 7 a.m., 7:30 in the morning, she was hitchhiking in her nurse's uniform underneath a jacket and gloves and just trying to get to work so she could make enough money to support her kids that were all at home, you know. And I look back and I think, I have no idea. Like, I have 3 kids right now under the age of 13, and I'm married, happily married to my wife, Angela. You know what it's like being a parent if you have kids. It's like you go to bed and then all of a sudden all the thoughts go racing through your head. Did I do a good job? Did I explode too much? What are my kids thinking? Are they happy? You know, all the challenges the kids have with friends and peer groups and bullying and studying and grades and sports and everything that goes on. My mom had that times 8. Times 8. So for all the moms out there, if you don't think your kids are watching or listening to you and you're trying your best and you're ultra frustrated, understand, this guy, who's still the son and always will be the son of Catherine Crowley, turned 46 years old in June of this year. I still harken back every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't go back to something my mom said, did, or tried to help me with. And let me also just give you a little bit of insight. This is a part where it gets kind of personal. My mom used to say a number of times, okay? She used to say, I never asked for you kids, and I never wanted you kids. Over and over and over again. I mean, to the point where I would finish her sentences, like walking away. Now, usually she was drunk or had a drink in her hand. And I'm not saying to speak ill of my mom. I'm just telling you the way it is, man. The truth be told, I love my mom and always will. And the day she died was the saddest day of my life, not even a close second, you know, because I remember getting the call. I was living in Buffalo, and my sister called me to tell me that mom was dead. My brother Chris found her on the couch. He lived about 45 minutes away. He went in to check on her, and she still had a cigarette in her hand. God love her, man. Had a stroke and bypass surgery, but was still smoking. And she had a cigarette burnt down to her index finger and middle finger, holding it there, and was dead on the couch July 7th, 1997. I went into a tailspin myself. You get one set of parents. You know, you don't get a choice who they are. You get one set. And I realized early on my mom would say things like that. I never asked for you kids, and I never wanted you kids. But I know she didn't mean it. I just know she didn't. And I don't know how I knew that, because I wasn't old enough to really discern that. I wasn't old enough, I don't think, to really process all that. But I saw the hurt and the pain in my mom's life every single day. You know, raising eight kids by yourself, being an alcoholic. Anytime she had a day off, the booze was there, man. It was whiskey, it was vodka, were the flavors of the day, and mix it with ginger ale and, you know, just sit around and get drunk and be nasty to your kids. But my mom was just nasty as a result of the nasty hand that was dealt to her. And I say all this for a number of reasons, not because I'm out there to get any, you know, I don't want to be on Dr. Phil next week boo-hooing about it. But every Mother's Day, I think of how blessed I was to have that mom. You know, I didn't have Mrs. Brady. I didn't have an Ozzie and Harriet growing up. I didn't even meet my dad till 2 years ago when I was 43 years old for the very first time. But damn it, I had a great mom. And as I see other mothers out there, now that they are coaching clients of mine, they buy my products, they come to live events and hear me speak, and I see the pain in their eyes. And maybe you're a mom listening right now, or maybe you're a son who has a similar situation as I did growing up. You know, you don't have to beat yourself up. There's no reason to beat yourself up over what could have been, what should have been, and you look back and think, I don't know. You know, a lot of people who trip over their past, they're just not calibrated right. I wish I would have been able to speak this into my mom. I wish I would have been the oldest and gone on my personal development trip and be able to report back to my mom that, hey, it's okay. You know, I understand the anger you have for dad. I know we left you with eight kids. I know just the absolute mess. I mean, imagine that. You know, never paid a dime of alimony or child support, nothing, you know, not one dime ever paid to my mom. And she had a right to be bitter. And she went to the bottle and she took some of it out on her kids and some of it, like me, some of us let it run off our back like water off a duck's back, you know, others absorbed it and internalized it. And I don't know why I knew, like I said, at such an early age that was not really my true mom speaking. I think because there were other times that my mom didn't go to work and stayed home and on a rare occasion didn't drink and was a very pleasant lady. Went to church all the time. You know what's funny about my mom? She never went to church as we got older. Never went to church on Sunday, but went to church every day of the week, Monday through Saturday. I just was like, and I think because my mom, we grew up Catholic, Irish Catholic in a small town. I think my mom just appreciated the simplicity of the message from the priest and didn't get really caught up in the grandiose Sunday service. And my mom was a very spiritual person. My wife, Angela, still refers back to the devotional that my mom gave her when we got married. And it's a very personal thing for my wife, because my mom actually took time to purchase it, write a nice note to Angela. And not when we got married, because my mom was alive. We got married when we met back in 1996, my mom gave it to her when we first met and got engaged. That's what it was. We got engaged in 96. Sometimes these run together, you know, marriage, engagement. You don't remember after so many years, 18 years since I met my wife, what year was what. But if you're a parent, it's one of the toughest damn jobs there is. And then you throw on top of it, if you're a parent and you got to go to work every day, if you're a parent and you're a mother, especially because this is Mother's Day today, and you're a work-at-home mom, stay-at-home mom who's trying to work, who's trying to make ends meet, here's my message to you, and I want you to receive this message. And look, I'm not the know-it-all. I'm not an expert. I'm not a mother, okay? But I can tell you, because I've had a mother, I am married to a beautiful lady who is a mother, and I have a lot of single moms and also married moms who are trying to just figure out life every single day, that email me, that hit me up on Twitter. Number one, I want the message today to be thank you from all of us who don't say it nearly enough. Number two, you are being watched by your children from your peer groups, but not being judged. You understand? There's a difference. You're being watched, you're not being judged, and you're being forgiven. You know, you don't need to beat yourself up. God has already forgiven you for all your sins. Jesus died on the cross for me, for you, and for everyone so that your sins may be forgiven. But understand this much. Although it may seem like people are looking at you and people are judging you, why don't you take a look at that at some point in time and say, you know what? People are admiring me. That's what I'm doing. I look at single moms sometimes, and I look at moms that got 3, 4, 5 kids, or heck, even 1 or 2 kids, and they're picking them up at school, and kids are flipping from the front seat to the back seat, and maybe it's just my kids that when you pick them up at school, they feel like just caged animals of being finally let out, you know? And they go nuts, and the mom's pulling her hair out, and it's just not enough time in the day to get stuff done. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. We're watching you. We're admiring you. And the message for today, and I would say this to my mom as well, is I know it ain't easy. I wish I could have been a better son and made things a little bit more easier for you. And I think of your kids, truth be told, regardless if you've got teenagers like I do, younger kids as well, I think truth be told, they could look you in the eye and say, I wish I could have done better for you. You know, I wish I would have made life easy for you. Easier for you. I wish I would have made life easier for my mom. But you know another thing? If my mom were still alive today in 2014, she'd be one proud parent. Because when I dropped out of Penn State in 1988, never to go back to college again, it crushed my mom. I mean, I moved to West Palm Beach, Florida with not $3 in my pocket. And I got a bed out of the ghetto. I mean, imagine your kid doing all these things. Garbage night was on a Sunday night. We moved into this apartment, me and my buddy, and I got my mattress off the curb, slept on a twin, which was sitting on top of a king, which happened to be in the dump, in the side of the gutter in the ghetto that night where we lived, and got an apartment cheap. And I slept on that for 3 months before I was able to afford even a regular mattress. No box spring, no frame, just I'm talking about like a mattress that I could get. And imagine sending your kid off in that direction. Your youngest, your last kid. I remember when I went to college in August of 1986, leaving and my brother Bernie and Jim drove me and my mom just sobbing uncontrollably on the doorstep. This was it. This was her last kid going off to college. And she always thought I was going to be something, you know. She just knew that I was going to be something. Even after all that, I never asked for you. I never wanted you and all the swearing and all the stuff that went on and the crazy things in the house and all the alcohol. I knew deep down that I would make my mom proud, and she would be proud of me, and I knew she was proud of me, and although I never once heard, not one time, I love you, not once, from my mom, I knew she did. I just knew she did. So, you know, it's, as parents, we tend to beat ourselves up a lot, especially moms, and you worry, did I do the best? Did I raise a good child? And I'll tell you, at some point, you let go, and it's up to the child now to grow into the man or the woman that they need to do. And it's up to them to have discernment and judgment and be able to understand right from wrong. And it's not always going to be perfect. It's a zigzag all the way to the top. It's not a linear line. But, you know, when I went off to West Palm Beach, I was clueless, had no idea what I wanted to do, but I always wanted to make my mom proud. It was very important to me to make my mom proud. And I don't know why I had that. I just had it. I just wanted to make my mom proud. I moved back to Buffalo, New York in 1990 after being in Florida just for 2 years. I missed the Northeast. I missed the fall, the change of seasons, the spring, and didn't necessarily miss the cold winters, but, you know, you get what you get. And I got a job in corporate, and I think my mom was finally able to take a deep breath, say, wow, okay, Sam's okay. He's got an apartment. Because even when I moved back to Buffalo, I was living with 2 girls. I was bartending. I wasn't, you know, sleeping in every day. I still didn't have everything perfect. And then November of 1990, got the job that I would have for the next 15 years. And I think about my mom now, if she could be at a book signing for my book, or she could come to an event and see me speak, or even listen to this show, she would listen. My mom, if she was alive today, she'd be listening to every single podcast. I don't know if she'd be a texter, because she didn't even have an answering machine. We didn't have call waiting, nothing. My mom used to say, if it's important enough, they'll call back. You would call and it would ring 700 times, nobody answered. My mom, if you called during Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, she wouldn't answer the phone. So, or a Bills game, you know, especially in the early 90s. Huge Bills fan. She'd say, if it's important enough, they'll call back. But if I had this podcast and my mom was alive, she'd be listening every day. And if she was a texter, she'd send me a text. However, I doubt highly she would ever grasp anything that had to do with texting or email. But she'd call me and she'd give me her advice and she'd let me know, you know, how she felt. She wouldn't say, I love you. She wouldn't say, you get all sappy. But I would know that if my mom was listening to the show, she would be a regular downloader. She'd leave I don't even know if my mom would leave a 5-star review. She has very quick wit. She might leave a 4-star and say there's always room for improvement. But you know what? She's up in heaven right now looking down at me thinking, that's my son. that's my Sam. He made it. He did okay. I can stop. I think, Mom, you can stop worrying about me now. I think I got it. I think I'll be okay for the next 30 or 40 years until we reunite. And all the other mothers out there that are listening to the Everyday Saturday podcast, a very special message to you to let you know that we love you, that your work does not go unnoticed, and that it may be 20 or 40 years for you before you finally realize that the work you did really meant something. But you brought life into this world and you created a miracle, and you are an absolute miracle. On behalf of everybody all around the world, over the 100 countries of people listening to the Everyday Saturday podcast, have a very happy Mother's Day. Even if you catch this recording and it's past May 11, 2014, understand, moms, we appreciate you. And have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.